Welcome to another episode of Million Dollar Stories, where we get to interview authors from all over the world. I'm very excited about this next guest because he knows more about AI than I ever will. However, if you're out there looking to start or grow a business, you need to implement AI, technology, robots at some capacity because the future is here. The book that we're talking about, there are actually a few that he's a part of, but one book that he wrote in 2016 was a precursor to his company, and he's going to explain what his company is all about here very soon. The book is called Avatar Dreams, Science Fiction Visions of Avatar Technology, and it's pretty amazing that he was writing about this in 2016 because ChatGPT is such a part of our lexicon now, and I'm assuming he knew about this way back when. And so the other book that he's a part of is, it's called The Rise of Techno-Socialism and How Inequality, AI, and Climate Will Usher in a New World. He did the foreword for it. So without further ado, Dr. Harry Klor, thanks so much for being here, man.
No, it's an honor to be here. I loved your title, Million Dollar Book.
Thanks, man. Yeah, so we lead off with the book that you're a part of, and you have a lot more behind the scenes than this book. And so I believe you said it's the leading or largest humanoid company in the world. So please explain your background, who you are, and what you're all about.
Sure. First, my background. I've been in technology and science my entire life, but I've also been in media my entire life. So I started my first business actually when I was 13, import and export. But I was also an environmental engineer back when I was 16 years old. I have the distinction, according to the Council of Graduate Schools and the Department of Education, of being the only person to simultaneously earn two PhDs from a legitimate university. Mine happened to be in physics and chemistry, but no one has earned two simultaneously in anything worldwide. When I graduated, I was ABC World News Person of the Week and featured in all kinds of magazines, which was thrilling when you're a graduating graduate student. But I went on to become a filmmaker. I created the series Earth Final Conflict and have written for Star Trek and in other shows. So less thrilling now, but back then it was very exciting. My life's mission literally has been to bring AI humanoid robots to life and to the public. In fact, my partner Ray Kurzweil and I started brainstorming this back in 2003. And of course, Ray has written, 16 best-selling books. Singularity is Near is one of the most famous ones. As part of that, Avatar Dreams was put together because I had just created something called the Avatar XPRIZE, which was a $10 million prize to create a humanoid robotic industry. Because I don't consider these companies to be competitors. We need to, just like, say, with cars, have an entire infrastructure. And given the way the world's going, it'd be great to have all kinds of robots doing all kinds of things. And I'll pause there for a second.
It's pretty wild. Okay, so you've been at this a long time. And one thing that is on the top of my mind, my vision is only so far out, but I realize that AI has changed my life with my business. And the next step in evolution is really just cloning me and then having me as this avatar on a screen. And therefore, if anybody has a question about the company, they could really just jump on a computer and talk to me directly without talking to me. And it will have my mannerisms, my ability to speak. It'll look exactly like me. That's as far as out as I can see for my company. But you're probably seeing a lot more coming down the pike when it comes to, I believe there was an interview you did when it comes to hospitals buying your machines and almost replacing nurses, but not replacing them in a way that it just does the exact same work. It's doing it at a higher level constantly, allowing the hospital to become more profitable, but also serve people at a higher level. So you're seeing that. And now I'm not in that world, but can you just give us your vision of what you're seeing now that the average person isn't, and what you see within 5 or 10 years?
Sure. A lot to unpack there. But first, I congratulate you on knowing at least one form of an avatar is your character on a screen. Yep. I will remind you that actually the ancient books actually talked about avatar, which go back to ancient India, where an avatar is actually a god who's coming down and occupying various different bodies. And so in part, that's what an avatar is in stage one for us, which was, how do you program the AI in the humanoid robot? Well, you do that either through the robot watching humans doing video, or more efficiently coming the robot, do the task, capture that data, and then in one or a few shots, train it to do the task. I will note that every single company is using that process that we created now, including Elon Musk with their robots and Figure and others. The distinction here is you start with that and then you train your AI. Now, our approach, which is important in turning looking about AI for anything, is a imagine an AI that was you or knew your knowledge, more importantly, in a robot, so you could multiply yourself. So now you can be in 100 places at once doing 100 different tasks because you have something more important to do. And that's our goal. Our goal is not to replace humans. There are going to be 18 million too few healthcare workers by 2030. There is going to be about $18.7 trillion in globally lost GDP revenue because there aren't enough skilled workers. Hmm. So keep in mind, we're not talking about the guy who's like taking your trash out or mowing your lawn. We're talking about skilled labor. And that can be doing engineering work or nursing work, et cetera. So our goal and our system is quite simply creating a synthetic brain. And that synthetic brain is not an LLM. And one of the lobes for speech is an LLM, but how it controls motion is a different neural net. How it's understanding haptics and touch is, again, a different one. So your brain has multiple neural nets in your head and different for vision, motion control, logic, etc. That's what we've built. So just so the audience knows, yes, there are big companies out there who've raised fortunes. We've been bootstrapping this because we're all the technicians and PhDs and technologists and who know how to build this. We're not the Wall Street guys. And so what's the difference between us and, say, Elon and Figure is we're building a synthetic brain. They're all copying Boston Dynamics, and now they're all copying Elon Musk to make leg robots. And everyone except Elon, who's using his own car AI, is using ChatGPT to control the robots. Now, why don't you want to do that? Because it can hallucinate. And hallucination has embarrassed Google, embarrassed many people when they're doing these 60-minute interviews where suddenly you realize it just made up a whole bunch of stuff. And that's a key point for your audience to know. No matter what they're going to be doing with AI, if you're using an LLM, make sure you have a human in the loop, because it will just create whole cloth fiction. And I think LLMs are a great tool. I actually use it all the time, but I also use my brain, which is more advanced, to see where it's gone wrong and where it's gone right, and then edit and fix that, and then go through some cycles. So if whether I'm drafting a patent or an email or some other document, I lead it, and then I can understand what it is. But can you imagine if a robot is working not on a factory floor, which, by the way, everyone is doing except us? We're aiming to be in medicine and elder care, and then later in hospitality and retail, and then in your house, because I really think everybody needs a humanoid robot in their house.
It's going to be like chores. Rocky 5 or Rocky 4, right? Rocky 4 when he has the robot. That's what I picture.
I'm thinking more of like the Jetsons, but okay. I want my robot to clean my house and make my meals and take care of everything. But so you can't have an LLM doing those complex tasks and hallucinating. You could have one, I suppose, hallucinate and pick up the wrong box or put the wrong thing in a box. That's not going to be a problem. But I think for more advanced things, you have to go down the path that we've gone.
I've seen the robots, and my language on this might be off. So if I say something, just correct me. But I saw a robot that I think Honda's making. I'm seeing them all over. Do your robots or humanoids, do they look like that? Do they look like a person? Do they look like?
So you're a great lead in, man, especially without us having any prep. So Honda, Boston Dynamic, and Toyota all made hydraulic driven, pretty much robots. They had some electric motor ones. For instance, Honda's robots discontinued, Toyota's humanoids discontinued.
Wow.
Boston Dynamic is 20 years and billions of dollars has never sold a single one. They made the robot dogs, sold a couple of those.
I've seen that.
I started the whole humanoid robotic second generation, starting with the Avatar X Prize. And then by demonstrating, we finished our first humanoid robot, which is humanoid from the waist up. We use a wheeled base for very logical reasons. Quickly, they run 12 times longer than legs. I can go over far more terrain safely than legs. And there is only a handful of use cases for them, and none in the $10 trillion of markets that I'm aiming to go after. Legs are for mobility. Wheels are better for mobility. No one has a light car. There are other reasons, insurance, stability, safety, why you don't want legs. But our robots are humanoid from the waist up. But we don't go into the uncanny valley. So our robots are very lovable. The audience can see them at beomni.ai, which is BEOMNI.ai. So the word to be or not to be, and Omni like Omni Hotel. And so you can see the robots. Now, what's the point here? The point is yes, not only am I impressed with Elon's career, he's poured a ton of money into his walking robots and figures just raised $675 million. My hat's off to them for that.
Oh, wow.
I'm happy for it because I'm making a synthetic brain that will run in my robot, but also in theirs. And when they figure out that LLMs aren't going to work, they'll have blown through $1 billion in cash and we'll be there to pick up the pieces.
So you'll be the software, basically, that they use, very much like a Microsoft approach.
Yeah, so our approach is to be Apple plus Microsoft. So we'll have our own hardware and run it, but we also believe to be hardware agnostic because there are no robots in the world. So it's better for us if we're making them, but we can also run it in anybody else's. It's far more profitable and will change the world much, much more rapidly.
Yeah, I'm glad you made that distinction. There are people out there building robots that clean hotels. I just saw one recently. It actually goes in and cleans the bathroom perfectly. I can't even believe it. You're talking about now taking this synthetic brain and applying it to, I guess you could say, the medical world and doing high level stuff. And then having a humanoid in your house that you basically, I mean, and this goes a little bit crazier, but you don't even need to speak to it because it might know what you're thinking. Right? It already knows what to do.
I don't want it to know what I'm thinking, but yes. Yeah, so we, for instance, way before Elon and Figure and Sanctuary and anybody else, we finished our first humanoid in 2020 of December during COVID. And we started to demonstrate in 2021. We did our first medical pilots at true pace in 2021. And for 3 years, we've been improving the robot, but here's the difference between us and them. They do things like push a button and make a Keurig, or recently they did their open AI thing where they're picking up an apple. We've been using drills, picking up boards, actually drilling multiple holes, doing the whole process. We've been cooking. We can take a pinch of salt, but we can also pick up deadlift 35 pounds. We've been doing construction demos where we're stacking and moving bricks around. We've done micropipetting, picking up a syringe and doing injections right now on rubber arms because we're not approved for humans. But the point of it is we've done super complex tasks that require lots of agility, but also tasks that require a lot of strength. So our purpose is to do the higher end, the medical, the elder care, if you make it there, as they say, then if I'm running a hospital and you can have the robots there, if I go into Walmart or I go into the Hilton or I go into a grocery store, they'll buy them. In fact, we don't sell them. We lease them. We're the creators of the leasing model for the humanoid market, which, again, everyone is now following. which we're happy with because I think it's better if people are leasing them because you can do constant improvements. And when they break down, you just replace the parts or the robot. But how does this affect the world? It means by us all working together, because I want them all to succeed, we'll have humanoid robots everywhere. And why humanoid robots? Because as you just said, there's a robot that cleans your toilet. Because instead of making 10,000 different robots, a humanoid robot can pick up various tools, like ours can pick up at pretty much any tool, not any, but almost any, and then use it without any special adaption. And that means you can enter numerous markets, which means you can make your BOM cost very low because you can have many more of them made.
Oh my God. So, I mean, I think this is an exciting time for an entrepreneur to get into this game, and you can realize that you could do so much with very few resources right now. So we're into the world of ChatGPT. I mean, when it comes to bots that are, anybody goes to certain websites that I have, they're actually speaking to a bot, and it's just, you know, it's regurgitating things that come from my book. It's unbelievable. Text messages. I'm seeing it pop up in emails. Is there anything that you're seeing that an entrepreneur listening right now can really start to apply? Like your robots or your humanoids are probably for certain type of industries. The average person is an entrepreneur listening. Is there any resource or program or utilization that you could recommend to our listeners?
Well, I would recommend to explore the whole wide range of for instance, LLMs that are out there. But I would also recommend for entrepreneurs and inventors to be careful. So for instance, one of our AI leads, Justine Zander, who was at NVIDIA, had gone to a conference, I don't know, 3 months ago or 4 months ago, whenever Microsoft announced their pilot, AI pilot. And there were probably hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of businesses that had built applications on top of OpenAI that were all wiped out in about 22 minutes when Microsoft unrolled all of its features, which were available. And so it's great to build off of it, but you better make sure that what you're building, you also have some of your own tech that makes it proprietary, and that somebody, some giant can't come along and just go, well, here, I'm going to make it, and it's either free or so cheap that it undercuts you. So you got to be aware of that. Next, you need to be aware that, of course, OpenAI, it has its values, it also has its biases and limits. And
biases, that's a major point right there. There are biases already.
Huge bias. And there's all kinds of fun tricks to try on them to prove just how biased they are. But the bigger the model, also the more the hallucination. The other one is to realize that Elon is unrolling his true open source platform, but there's also about six or seven others that we know of that we've been playing with that are open source, that you download, that you can have. You're not going to be paying a fee to anybody. You can manipulate it and train it the way you want. And this is important for entrepreneurs to know about that. Then, of course, LLMs is very different than, say, platforms like Midjourney. Now, DALL-E is also similar, but Midjourney is more advanced for image generation. But basically, images, audio, anything with words is being handled by multiple different AIs. And so you should explore them. But please really think ahead about, okay, is this really unique? Can Apple or Microsoft or Amazon or Google suddenly roll out with a universal thing that wipes me out? And that's my caution.
Wow. So you were a part of, and I think you did the foreword for the rise of techno-socialism. And so what did you convey in that book? Or what the book seems to be really combining how inequality might be fixed by AI, or there's some things to be watching out for in the future.
So the book is about all the various things. I actually created the concept of techno-socialism back in the 80s.
Yeah, I've never heard that phrase, by the way.
Yeah, so I invented it as a means to counter communism, actually, to say that socialism and communism are nuts because people are generally do things for their own good. So if I have 50 people and I'm paying them all the same, but one is like you and I who work all the time and are highly productive, and 30 other ones just sit on their butt drinking coffee or are playing videos, we all get paid the same amount. That's just nuts. It's absurd, and that's just human nature. So techno-socialism is the concept that I coined, and if you read the book, I am credited for creating it, which was the concept of, instead of having a government decide everyone gets paid the same and does things, is technology will begin to provide you resources which are either free or virtually free for everybody. And so, for instance, data using Google. Google is free. Yes, there are ads and you can succumb to them or not. But then there's also DuckDuckGo and there's Bing and there's all these other platforms. If you were alive before that you had that, you'd realize that basically that was a giant leap forward in how you can educate and train yourself. The same is true for of course, all the videos and all the social platforms. They have their negative, but they also bring enormous value that people used to pay for, which you now get for free. And other ones like, you know, Uber or Lyft, yes, they're not free, but in terms of techno-socialism and enabling anybody to be that taxi driver. Before that, you had to spend a fortune to buy a medallion and then work for the man. Now you are working for a quasi-man, but you're your own boss. You can choose to take that ride, not take the ride, and go where you want. And those are just a couple examples. Now, as AI comes in, we're going to go to the next age of techno-socialism. So where various AI platforms have made it virtually free to make images of Uber quality. I have artist friends who have embraced it now because they realize it's a tool. It's not stealing their job. They cut 6 months down to 3 days in their production time. So they make various images. They still bring them into Photoshop and their other applications and bring them together and make them into a true art piece. I myself have used various different LLMs for patent work, where I draft the first patent and then cleans up the language and makes some good suggestions and some very, very bad one. And then you go round robin with that. So that's techno-socialism. And as AI improves, you're going to get more and more things that are either free or cheap. If you have an army of humanoid robots, you have 100 million of them working, say, in green energy and in healthcare and other things, suddenly the cost will dive, because human labor is the most expensive thing often in the things that you do and get. And if that's reduced, but also in the generation of energy, human labor has an impact. So now if robots can reduce that cost, make things more efficient. So it's food production, energy production, everything gets decreased in cost over time, and you truly lead to a world of abundance, as my friend Peter would say.
So my vision of the future, and I may be completely off base here, but within 50 years, every car being made is going to be driverless. And I think it'll actually be illegal within 100 years to drive a car. So I think that's
kind of, I hope not.
I hope not either. Man, do I love driving.
I'd be the first person to rip that out and be driving illegally.
But I see them going in that direction. Driverless cars. Some politician's going to say, hey, you know, it's safer to have these cars drive you around.
That's the end of the republic. It's the end of democracy.
I'm with you. Okay.
I got to make people understand why. Because as soon as you can do that, when you can control where people can and can't go, I mean, yes, you can walk a certain distance, but most things are not within a walking distance. Then you can do anything you want. Exactly. And if you give that ability to governments, they will abuse it. We saw that during COVID. We know with certainty it's actually in every country except maybe Sweden. So that they just can't resist the power. So that would be awful. If it was all autonomous, because you know the government's going to control it. It's like digital currency. Hey, it's great when it's being some entrepreneur using it. But if the government goes to a digital currency, it's over, because they can erase all of your value overnight. They can tax you for whatever.
Right. Social credit score.
No, but it's digital currency. I'm talking about money.
Right, right. But so when they say, they your social thing. Credit is down, that means we're taking money from you. Done, right? That's how it is.
You said you're going to vote for this guy, not this guy. You no longer have a job. You can't get on the bus. You can't get in your autonomous car. You can't do anything. So technology, when you invent it, people need to know about it so that they can control their leaders. If you don't control, if everything becomes a black box, we devolve into a society controlled by a elite group of assholes.
Yeah, man. And you know what? It's so refreshing from your background in, I guess you could say, Hollywood. I thought you'd be the other way, just so you know. So it's so great to hear you say this, just so you know.
Oh, you know, I know. But also from my background in technology. So here's the problem. And I'm about to insult a lot of people, including my friends, is people are really smart in an area and then stupid everywhere else. Because how can you be for these sort of governmental controls? Have you not read history? Do you not understand that you have to control these things? But then again, most people don't understand that the United States is a republic. They think it's a democracy.
They keep saying democracy for a reason, right? They keep that there's a reason behind it. It's a democracy. No, it isn't. Constitutional republic. Look it up.
And that's why we did end slavery. And that's why we did allow women to vote. Because if it was a democracy, the people had all the votes who were a-holes would have kept it the other way. A republic is far superior because it allows a voice for the minority.
Bingo. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the founders were such geniuses, I think, you know, when it comes to the Electoral College. Therefore, they couldn't just bring a ton of people and put them in one location and brainwash them to get them to vote. Smart people. I just wish they would have had something in that that document that said anything about term limits for anybody that's a part of government. If they would have had that in there, that was it.
Unfortunately, they truly thought that people would come from business and from other parts of life, do one or two terms and leave. And that why would the hell would anyone want it? Because when they first did the government, and we're way off of AI now, they just never envisioned it. Now, so I'll bring us back to AI, which is if it was some way to make an agnostic AI that didn't have a built-in bias, then I would believe it better for ruling than anyone else. But actually, like techno-socialism, I have the concept of techno-rulership, which is why don't we just have, if you can pass a certain level of intelligence in an area, whether it's you play these video games and you're really good at it, which tells me you're smart enough thinker, or you can pass this written test, or you have this certain, that you have something, you're not brain dead. Then, you know, you just have a lottery. And each period of time, you have a group of 1,000 people making a decision, because I guarantee you they would make a much better decision.
Oh, no doubt.
Than any Republican, any Democrat, any independent currently in there, because you wouldn't be getting paid for it. It would just be your social obligation. And at the end of the day, you would know, okay, well, this is good or bad for me. And we all have cell phones, and you can make the argument that since the government will give you one if you don't have one, then everyone has access to it. And maybe that's just the level of, you know, I want some level of protection, but what I don't want is career politicians. And so I think techno voting, where an AI or some other random program selects you based on, you know, you pass certain criteria, because after all, I can't drive my car without taking a test. So this idea that has been put forward, especially unfortunately by the left, that oh my god, we can't have IDs, we can't have tests, we can't have anything. Look, I completely agree that doing the old school voter test, which was again put forward by the South Democratic Party, is a bad idea. Unfortunately, they abandoned it, but then they went entirely the other way. We should have certain restrictions, and one of them should be, if you're going to vote in the U.S., you should probably have some level of either citizenship or green card or something. And you should be able to prove that you're who you say you are.
Common sense.
Otherwise, I can't buy alcohol. I can't buy cigarettes. I can't get on an airplane. I can't actually even go see a movie if it's rated R without an ID. We either have to eliminate all of that or we have to start having a brain and saying, yeah, it's not too big of a hurdle. Is voting not more important than seeing a movie?
It's incredible. I mean, they fought in the House over banning TikTok before they voted to stop illegal entry to the country or stopping the or making sure that you need an ID to vote. Like, think about how insane this is right now. So,
yeah, well, I mean, corruption. It's all corrupt. I mean, the idea that you need a bill to prevent illegal immigration, obviously you don't. You just cancel all the stupid executive orders that were issued to allow illegals into the country.
There it is.
And just so your audience knows, the illegals don't need to vote in order to sway an election, because the stupid government that we have has decided that the census is on anybody. So if I have 1 million illegal Chinese soldiers camping in California, we don't have that, thank God, that would then increase the population by 1 million and you get more congressmen.
There you go. And that's exactly
that's
right.
The game.
And then there's more votes, right? And then it's all over. Yep.
Yeah. And it's just ridiculous. And it runs them in the other direction. The other side comes up with equally ridiculous things. I'm neither a Republican or a Democrat. I consider myself an II.
What's that?
Intellectual independent.
Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, that I see a career politician, I run the other way. I don't trust them. They're bought and paid for. So even whatever they say on stage or on camera, I don't believe anything. And
yeah.
So
keep your religion out of my house, but also keep your fingers out of my pockets.
Damn straight. And so that's what I want to get to when it comes to AI. We talked about biases. The government is getting involved, and I think that they have their hands on many social media platforms. That's a given. Elon Musk out there. He's sticking to his guns, and hopefully he's able to keep the government out of his.
Elon right now is the champion of free speech. Anybody who says otherwise is probably smoking too much weed with Elon. Elon can smoke a lot of weed and not lose his mind.
No, thank God we have Elon. I'm really afraid for our kids getting out of school or in school right now or going to school. These people are going to have such a bias in their AI. So whenever they ask it a question, they're rewriting history as we speak. And so that to me is the most alarming, that we're living in two worlds. I'm able to see it now, right? There's a rich dad, poor dad mentality. That's the book behind me that changed my life. And so does that scare you as much as it scares me, that there basically will be two ways of looking at everything? I guess there are now, but when it comes to AI, people are going to say, this is the answer, this is what happened, and everything goes back to the Google or the OpenAI, whatever or whoever is feeding that machine. That's scary.
History used to be written by the victors. It's now going to be written by who's ever in power controlling the AI.
Yes. That's
and,
it.
I'm a book person. Actually, I was co-authoring a book before I was born, I like to say. My mom wrote a book while carrying me, a female-centric science fiction. And so I grew up on science and science fiction my entire life.
That's awesome.
I was greatly influenced by her. And actually by a Star Trek episode where you have the lawyer defending Kirk against the AI.
Wow.
And he's like, and he's got books and they're like amazed. And he gives this whole speech about the value of books because they can't be changed. Like if you have it, they can't reach in and change it like you can in a Kindle. I have thousands and thousands and thousands of books. When I was in high school, even before high school, I worked in a book, game, and comic store, which was like working in heaven. And
sounds like it.
I have insane numbers of comics, insane number of books. I have books going back to the 17th century. I have, tons of science fiction and comics because of this very problem. You can change all of reality if you're relying solely on digital. So just like they can wipe out your economy, they can wipe back your history by just rewriting it. And no one should have any doubt about that, given the fact that now what we do is we don't like something, we tear down all the statues, we tear down all the reminders. Yep. And it's like, well, did you consider that once you tore it down, no one would even know about that period of slavery?
Right. Or fact, you're going to be doomed to repeat it.
Why don't you just put up a plaque and say, but this guy was an asshole and a slaver and blah, blah, blah. Also, of course, people need to please stop judging the world entirely by their standards in their era. Yes, a lot of founding fathers had slaves, but a lot of them didn't. And their perspective was wrong. And I admire the ones who didn't have slaves, but I'm not going to judge them by today's standards and erase them from history. I can just say they did these good things and then they did this asshole thing. Today's key word today is asshole.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I mean, the moment you try to destroy or delete history, you're going to repeat it. That's just the nature of the beast. And so people who are trying to reshape it, I think it's going to lead to very, very bad outcomes for their lives. And I think the more you understand history, obviously you're well-read. People who follow me, they know that I'm just obsessed with history and just, you know, personal development. And I realize that, you know, when you wake up and when you see it, you can't unsee it. So when I see those politicians get on camera, I could see when they're lying. And I'm like, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. I've been in rooms with billionaires. That is not how you create wealth. What are they teaching these people? And even whenever it comes to school, you probably have seen school system just go completely off track. And they're teaching kids certain aspects of life that are just not true. So it's setting them up for failure. And I think it's devastating, leading to debt, but also medical problems. Hey,
Completely right. I just wanted to build on what you're saying, which was about you can look at the politician and tell if they're lying. Well, of course, I can use AI now to look and see if someone's lying. But what if they have the bias built in that the verbal part the AI thinks is true, even though it's not true? Then they'll just ignore the fact. So even if you can make an AI lie detector, it's going to nullify the areas where you're lying about things that the programmer said is true.
Never even thought of that. That can happen.
Yeah. Oh, so there's cool. All kinds of things, but yeah, AI is extremely biased and can hallucinate. And so just like anything else, use a bunch of sources and find out. You can use different. Here's an easy fun test to see if an LLM is super biased. Ask it, tell it, I know the Earth is round and we've been to space, but give me 10 reasons why flat earthers think the Earth is flat. And I've tried it many times with different ones. I don't know if OpenAI has changed their policy, but it'll come back and say, that's dangerous. You can't, I can't list that. And I'm like, it would be the least dangerous thing. It'll say the same thing if you talk to it about global warming or a thousand other things. But when you've gone to that extent, you can see how biased it is. Or when Google decided, you know, they're trying to fix it, that all historical figures are minorities. So we'll just change their race. I mean, yeah, we do that in television all the time. I change the sex and race of people just to make it different and interesting. But not if I ask you about a historical character. Don't just fabricate things.
Oh, it's so scary. I was born in 84 and I'm so glad I was born in 84 because I was like the last generation to grow up riding bicycles, being in the woods, no technology in our hands at all times. I had the Nintendo at home, but God, it's scary. If you were a kid today, this is all you know and it's going to get worse. But
yeah, unfortunately,
It could get better for people who use AI rather than being used by it is the way I look at it.
My policy for kids, I don't have any, but if I had, would be if you want an hour of time on your device, then you need to give me 3 hours of time on a book that I select.
Earn that.
And then as you get older, you can select give me a range of books and as long as they're not something that's just mush, then maybe I'll make that trade. But the point is, you should earn your time on your device as a child by reading books.
With you, man. So I could talk to you for hours. I don't want to take too much of your time, but the website or social media channel to find you on, I think you're a lot of fun. People will want to follow you on X if you're on there. So what is the best way to reach you?
Yeah, I know I have a Twitter account somewhere. I think it's Harry Doc Plore, but you can go to Beomni, Beomni.ai. And you can find me on LinkedIn. And then there's we have some social media for Beyond Imagination. To tell you the truth, I'm too busy to spend any time on social media.
You're building humanoids.
People ask,
I get it,
how
man.
Do you get so much done? And I'm like, well, easy. I save 10 hours a day by not doing social media. I'll do awesome. Podcasts then.
Yeah, this is fun to talk about this stuff because it's just all, you know, I was just listening to Joe Rogan and he was kind of painting a picture of what he believes what the future is going to look like. And it's like, oh my God, yeah, we are about there. We're almost to that point. So it's just great to have these conversations to see what's coming down the road. And I really appreciate your time. Guys, look up his book. He did a foreword called The Rise of Techno-Socialism and Avatar Dreams in 2016. And obviously look up his company, Wealth of Knowledge. He's easy to find on Google too. So Dr. Harry Clore, I really appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Remember, guys, a $1 million book will lead to a $1 million life. Right on.